Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to the podcast. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have found my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, and welcome to it. So today is an interesting and awesome interview. It began as a simple interview success story because the email that I received from Marielle was so striking about how disabled she was and how incredible her life is now that I thought, oh, success story, yay, why not? And what it became pretty quickly is a real-time heal because although Marielle has had incredible success very quickly, she has so much trauma and so much stuff to work through, much of which we did not get to in the actual call. We discussed it a little afterward, but enough, way enough to show what she is going through and why her body has felt such a deep need to protect her with her physical pain and symptoms. So this is a real-time heal, and it's a great one, and I'm really excited to share it with you. One of the things that Marielle and I discussed was the concept of surgeries and how forcefully surgeons and doctors can tell us in very scary terms of that we need surgeries and why we need surgeries and why they're so immediate. And then being able to look back after a certain amount of surgeries or a certain amount of procedures or experiences or when the pain moves from one place to another and coming to peace with the fact that maybe we didn't need those surgeries. I would say definitely in many, many cases, and I, of course, cannot speak for each person, but I know that I've in this 20 years of work, encountered so many situations where the surgery was unnecessary, and that's okay because you know, the pain moved or it worsened or it came back and they were able to find this work, this mind-body work, and they were able to heal. So Marielle's story is both amazing and incredible and also a really awesome real-time heal that we get to a lot of really rich and deep stuff that it's so important for to discuss for her and for everybody. So this is a great interview. I'm excited to share it with you today. And as I keep telling you, we are almost at the finish line. My kids start school just after Labor Day, and I will be announcing next week on the podcast a whole load of opportunities to work with me, quote unquote, in person, in virtual retreats over the fall and also an in-person one that I'm planning in April in North Carolina and maybe others that will be added depending on the COVID situation and the way the world is moving along. So we will see about that, but stay tuned next week for lots more in terms of opportunities to involve yourself with me personally in this work. All right. Well, I am happy to be here with you guys today. I'm having a wonderful day rounding out the end of the summer. I hope you guys are as happy and as centered as you can be in your own lives. If you're experiencing any effects of trauma or any difficulties, just know that I do a lot of work over at Instagram. You can follow me at Nicole Sachs LCSW at Instagram, NicoleSachs LCSW, because that's where I'm there every single day doing, giving out information and discussing stuff about trauma and about healing and about mind-body work, etc., and just some inspirational stuff as well. All right, guys, I send you big love, and I hope that you enjoy this wonderful real-time heal with Marielle. Hey, everyone. I am here today with Marielle. Welcome, Marielle.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. So as you guys know, now and again, I get really great letters, emails from people about how impactful this work has been for them. And I got an amazing one from Marielle. And I just was really taken by how powerful the work had been and how much her life had changed. So of course, as I do, I said, would you be willing to be on the podcast? And she graciously accepted. So yeah. Marielle, I'm just going to hand it over to you to tell your story and we'll take it from there.
Oh gosh. Okay. So... hi, I'm Marielle. So basically, in order to talk about my story and my spinal injury, which is the main focus of my story, I have to go back and talk about my foot because that is where it all started. So the very end of 2017, I remember it was November, I came home from work. I'm a makeup artist and I do mainly bridal work. So it's a pretty physical job, carrying a lot of equipment. You're working on your feet for, 8 hours. So I came home and my foot felt like it was bruised on the bottom. So, you know, it started to get worse, went to a doctor, realized, okay, I have plantar fasciitis. So at the time, I was being typical TMS person. I was extremely focused on being perfect. I have a lot of like body image issues, I guess you could say. So I was very, very focused on that. And I would exercise up to 3 hours a day. I looked great, but it wasn't really good for my body, I guess. So I got plantar fasciitis. This sent me into a complete spiral emotionally. I was freaking out at the thought that I wouldn't be able to exercise for a few weeks. I just went like completely insane. I went to this horrible doctor who encouraged me to have surgery, which plantar fasciitis, like it's not really necessary to have a surgery. So I just went with it, even though I had really bad feelings about this doctor. He wound up operating on the wrong part of my foot.
Oh my God. And
so yeah. So it just made everything a lot worse. And then he like was gaslighting me and acting like I was crazy and everything was fine. So, I had to have another surgery from a wonderful doctor who was trying to correct, everything that this doctor had done. So I wound up having to have another surgery and then lots of procedures on the foot. And this went on for all of, 2018. It affected me so deeply emotionally. Like the thought that I couldn't exercise anymore, it really threw me off. I was very angry the whole year. It just started this whole just negative space for me. Okay, so moving forward, now I finally complete physical therapy for my foot. It is now May of 2019. That's how long the foot issues were going on, which I now realize the foot thing was completely all TMS. I never needed a single surgery.
Right.
It was all BS. So.
But that's okay.
Now, yeah. So then it's now May of 2019, end of May. And I'm working. I have three weddings that weekend and I'm working and I had a venue with no elevator and lots of stairs and I'm carrying my really heavy makeup kit and equipment up the stairs. I go home that night and I couldn't sleep. And my back was really, really hurting me in the lower back. At the L5 area. And I thought, I must have pinched a nerve or something. I continued working the rest of the weekend and it started getting progressively worse. And then Sunday I got in my car after a wedding and thank God my stepdaughter was with me. She had assisted me that day. And I was like, I can't drive. I cannot sit in this car. The pain that was going down my left leg was so intense. I'm like, I won't be able to drive. So thankfully she was with me and she was able to drive us home. And it just started getting progressively worse throughout that week. I wasn't able to sit down, even like, peeing on the toilet for 2 seconds was excruciating. But I just kept moving forward. I'm like, it's wedding season. I'm pinched a nerve, whatever. So it eventually got to the place where the only position I could be in was laying on my stomach. And if I wasn't doing that, I was screaming in pain. It was so, so terrible. I went to a specialist and he ordered an emergency MRI. And then he called me like, the next day and was like, so the MRI place called me. They've never done that before. You have to have surgery immediately. So basically what had happened was I had a very herniated disc. And when I was lifting my equipment, it just pushed through and created a hole in the lining of my spine. And I don't want to trigger. I know like a lot of people with TMS, they worry that this is going to happen, but just know that this is extremely rare what happened to me.
I'm going to potentially disagree. I'm going to hear your whole story first, okay. But I'm going to potentially disagree that there's anything wrong with that. And that may be a normal abnormality. And I don't think it was the reason for your pain at all, but let's just keep, you'll keep going and I'll let you know if I do.
Okay. So then what happened was the jelly that was between the vertebrae, it leaked out of that hole and landed on the nerve of my left leg and was killing it. And that was what was causing all this pain. I can't even describe to you the pain. I've never experienced pain like that in my whole life. I had to be completely medicated. If I was conscious at all, it was absolutely brutal. So I had surgery. They had to go in and clean that fragment off of the nerve of the leg and basically told me if I didn't have the surgery right away, I was going to lose the ability to use my leg for the rest of my life. And I do still have some nerve damage. There's, you know, numbness in the leg now that probably is there, you know, forever. But thankfully, you know, it could have been a lot worse. So I had that surgery and then I felt great. But the doctors were telling me, okay, so now you can't sit down for long periods of time for the rest of your life. You can't bend over. You can't twist to the side for the rest of your life. And it didn't really hit me at first. I was like, oh, okay. And I just kind of went about my life. I was sitting fine. I felt amazing after I had healed from the surgery. I didn't have any back pain. And so I just went about my life sitting how I normally sit. And suddenly I started having pain at the end of the summer. And I started spiraling, oh no, you know, they're right. I can't sit. I can't sit. So I went through the rest of 2019 kind of just getting by, kind of coping. I would tell people, okay, I have an allotment of sitting that I can do per week. And once I max out that sitting, I can't sit anymore. So I would, you know, be
I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
When the pain came back, was it in the same place?
So it was different because it was no longer that sciatic pain of that was like the fragment. It was now in that lower back L5 region.
But that's where it had begun when you first were laying in bed and you said you had back pain. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say this to you because I know this is true. And okay. I'm also going to say this to you because I really want to help you because this journey is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
And you're not done with it because nobody's done with it. And that's not to be fearful.
Right.
It's just because you're not. I have heard the most insane things out of doctors, and I understand words like ruptured disc and herniated so much that it broke the lining and the jelly leaking out on the nerve. I get that these words, I mean, I'm scared listening to you. And yeah. and it didn't happen to me, and B, I know you're fine, and C, I know you have TMS, and I'm still scared listening to you because those words are scary.
Yeah.
I am going to propose, and you can just hold it in a basket and put it next to your bed, that you never needed that surgery either.
That
all of those things, I mean, when I tell you, I was told I wasn't going to walk upright by the time I was 40 if I didn't have spinal fusion surgery. My MRI is so concerning to physicians that see it that I have been told that I am risking my life by riding in a car more than an hour because of the bumpiness of the car. Meanwhile, and I was told I would never have biological children and all this. Meanwhile, I have three children right now. They're 19, 17, and 13. I exercise till the day they were born. I carry huge boxes. I'm in the middle of – I've never had a surgery and my MRI looks exactly the same. And I'm not saying it's just me. I'm saying also because I've done this work for over 20 years with all different kinds of people. And it's the same story time and again. But the reason I need to say it to you – is that if you have a place in your mind where you think that you needed that surgery, even though your pain came back, there you will be open to so much more fear and your nervous system will take that up like a football player who has a fumble and run with it.
I have so much trauma just around the injury and it's really hard to
I'm not going to say that you didn't have a herniated disc. I'm not going to say that it wasn't poking on something and hanging out on something. I'm going to tell you though, from my absolute heart, and you say you've listened to all my podcasts. I mean, there are a couple very severe cases like Barb Mastrioni, if you heard her podcast, where she had, according to her MRI, bone on bone, no cartilage, like missing parts of her, whatever. Just like I have a vertebrae that's shattered and replaced with scar tissue that they told me I would absolutely never be out of pain without the surgery. I am absolutely pain-free. So is Barb. So I think these are normal abnormalities. This is going off of Dr. Sarno's work that, we look all fucked up inside because doctors continue to compare us to this skeleton that they hang in my daughter's fourth grade health class, where you're supposed to look a certain way. And I think that society right now is challenging that with a lot of things around gender and around all sorts of ways that people identify themselves. Like, what is right and what is quote unquote normal? And like, right. I think we're in a lot of a raising of consciousness around that. But I do want to tell you, Marielle, from my depth of experience, they might have cleaned up whatever they cleaned up, and just like they could clean up my spine and fuse it, and it wouldn't look as scary the way doctors need it to look. But I don't think you needed that surgery, and I don't think it had anything to do with your pain. And I think I just needed to say that.
Okay. Okay.
This will help you in the future. So just go on.
Yes, I do need to hear that. Okay, so it's about to get worse. The story. So,
well, that's one of the reasons, and I figured it was, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to say that when I said it, because I don't want it in your head in terms of rewriting your timeline, and I don't want it in the people's heads that are listening to think that that surgery really helped you, because I know it's going to get worse, because there's a reason that you found my work.
Right. I wasn't at the place of, you know, the point of desperation yet.
Okay. And also, true readiness is everything, and we need every single part of our journey.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so I was just kind of coping, getting by, really, but my life was centered around, well, I can't sit there. We're going out to dinner. Well, that's it for the sitting for that week or whatever. So coping, getting by, and suddenly COVID happens. And this threw me just, you know, off the planet. Like I have a job where I'm working in people's faces. I'm also a germaphobe. I have a lot of anxiety, and I was suddenly terrified. Now, of course, for the first couple months of COVID, nobody was working. There was no weddings. So that was upsetting too, because I thought I had, 2020 was going to be this great year for me career-wise. I had so many bookings, and that was just falling apart. I started getting extremely depressed. I didn't even know, who I was at that point. Like, I would wake up every day and I would just cry the whole day. And then you mix that with, okay, now I suddenly have to go back to work because I'm contractually obligated to this bride who's moving forward with her wedding. And I was terrified. And so the pain just got to a whole, another level. And I remember it got to a place in October of 2020 where I thought I had re-injured it. I was having this horrible pain that felt different than my normal pain. I went and had another MRI. It was fine. It looked the same. There was nothing going on.
Right.
And so I started having injections. I had two injections, epidurals in October. It helped a little bit, but not that much. And I was so depressed. I felt like a burden. I would just lay in bed all day, and my husband had to drive me everywhere. I couldn't drive. I remember we went out to dinner, and I would always we'd have to get a high top table so that I could stand. And I remember going out to eat one time, and the only high top available was like next to the door, and it was cold and people were upset. And I just thought, I want to die. Like, I would think, sorry, I'm going to get emotional, but I would wake up every day and try to build up the courage to kill myself.
Yeah. I've heard this story so many times, honey. I send you so much love.
Like, I had a plan. I knew how I was going to do it. And I just would spend every day trying to be brave enough to do it. Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. I knew I was going to cry. Anyway, okay, so at that point, we started looking at other means of, different types of treatments. My aunt, one of her best friends, is this chiropractor for the NFL, and he's amazing. He's got, all these Super Bowl rings, and I'm like, I gotta go to this guy. Like, he heals people. He works with athletes. Like, he can help me. So we flew to Atlanta in the middle of a pandemic. to work with him. And he told me, you're fine. Like, you don't. Oh, I forgot to mention that when I got the second MRI in October, I met with the surgeon who had done my surgery, and he told me, you have disc degeneration. Like, things are going to get worse. The only answer is probably, like, a spinal fusion. So.
Sorry. Go on.
So I went to Atlanta and worked with this man who was really wonderful, and he was like, no, you don't have disc degeneration. So everything's getting so confusing because I feel right. like everyone. Telling me different things. But he kind of got me in that headspace of like, no, 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 you're going to be okay. And he worked with me for like a solid week every single day doing these treatments. And it actually helped. I went home. I was like, wow, like maybe I'm better. And he told me, oh, your hips are completely messed up because you were in a boot so long with the foot. And he thinks that's what caused the spinal injury.
It's not.
Right. So my so I was like, oh, it's working. It helped. So then I started feeling better. And we enter now 2021. And it's January 2021. And suddenly my husband and I get diagnosed with COVID. And my husband has pneumonia. And I have to go drop him off at the hospital only to be told that they're too full and he was turned away. And it was extremely scary.
Oh my God.
That day, the pain came back, all the way back.
Right.
And I couldn't understand why. What happened that day? Why did it come back? And I even asked my doctor, what? I didn't understand what, like, suddenly the pain was completely back that day. Why? Of course, I know why now. But so then it was March when I finally found your podcast. And I had actually found it months earlier when I heard Georgia mention it on My Favorite Murder.
Right.
Thank you, Georgia. And at the time I was like, oh, I might want to listen to that. So let me go subscribe right now so that I don't forget. But then I never listened to it. And, you know, months went by and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to this. Even though I was like, I just didn't want to hear people being like, oh, just think positively and it'll be fine. Because I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have this MRI. I have this diagnosis from doctors. So, like, I can't just think positively.
But which now you know that's yes. nothing to do with my work.
Right. So I started listening to the first episode and you're sharing your story and you sound like me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, somebody else that has this horrible MRI, she has doctors telling her this. That's like me. So I keep listening. I'm hearing all these people and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're all like me. And it just gave me so much hope. And I immediately started doing better. It was insane. So here I am today. I am extremely busy with my job. I thought I was going to have to quit my job. I'm working so much right now. I exercise. I drive myself. However, I'm not perfect and I feel like I need help getting that last like 20% better because I can't stop thinking in terms of, oh, that drive is going to be this long.
Or, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, so
that's okay. Well, when you listened to the podcast, did you do the work? Did you do the journal speak?
Yes. So I started doing the journal speak and, that was really good for me because I have a lot of trauma in my life, capital T traumas. And I realized that I am somebody that completely goes insane over little things. Like little things will send me into an absolute panic. I worry, I stress, but all the big capital T traumas that I've had in my life, which there have been a lot, I act like, oh, that doesn't matter. That didn't affect me. And turns out it did.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you more about your practice in a second, but okay. I want to say something that now that I've heard your whole story, I was suspecting I would feel, but now I feel it 100,000,000%. So I need to say it. We need to clear the decks completely because I really see in you the ability to be totally well, and I know what you need to do. And so the first thing I need to tell you is you absolutely, positively, absasmurfly, with no doubt, did not need any of those surgeries.
Oh my God. That's so like just hard to even wrap my head around.
I know. But it is and it isn't. And here's why.
Okay.
If you needed that surgery, why would your pain come back so severe? If you needed that surgery, why would your pain come back the day your husband was turned away from a hospital with COVID? If you needed that surgery, why wouldn't it have fixed you?
I know, you're right.
Your nervous system is in charge, okay? Has no way of knowing if you're safe without your conscious input. So if your conscious input thinks you needed that surgery, even though no logic would say you do, because if you actually need, listen, Linda, if you had a tumor and it was causing you, you know, like it was cancerous or if it was, you know, pushing on some nerve or whatever, and it was removed, you should feel better and forever.
Right.
This is what surgery's for. And,
no, you're right.
You know, if you break your bone in four places and you need pins and, you know, the amazing miracle of modern science and they put it together, it should not hurt you anymore. It should heal and it should be fine. And that happens all the time. So what you do need to know is that you never needed the plantar fasciitis surgery in the exact same way that you never needed the back surgery. And I have seen this story so many times, and I say this with love all the time, your story is boring to me. It's, oh well, another TMS story. And it's great news when your story is boring.
Okay.
Because it's just like nothing's unique about it, which means that you're going to be just fine. I am 1,000,000% sure that you're going to be pain-free and just fine, and it will be no problem for you. It's just we have to get your mindset in the right place, and then you're going to have to do more of the work. But there's nothing wrong with you. We are all look different on the outside, and we all look different on the inside, and there is 100% nothing wrong with you. I can't tell you how often I've heard this story. Like, I have a file of facts in my head, like a little like Rolodex, and it's just flipping through as I'm talking right now. Oh, her, right. Yeah, him. Oh, right. I remember that one. Like, it's all the same. It's all the same story. So, yeah. So, and this is one phone call. So obviously we're not going to get everything sorted. Like, right. you're not going to come to total belief and alignment in one conversation,
right.
But I'm just going to say all the things,
okay.
And then you will allow them to enter into your consciousness. And like,
okay.
Do you ever hear me call people a dry plant?
Yes.
So you can only pour so much water in. And some's going to go over the side, and that's okay. So just know that your inability to maybe completely accept right now that you didn't need those surgeries is totally fine. Your nervous system doesn't just say, oh, thanks, Marielle. Thanks for the heads up. Let's just walk right into the lion's den. Like, it doesn't, it's there to protect you. So, okay. So there's that. The next thing I want to talk to you about, since this is obviously becoming a bit of a real-time heal, which is great because this is like what you need.
I was kind of hoping.
It's great. It's totally great. Talk to me about your eating disorder or your body image stuff, because I think that's a huge factor in this.
So, okay. So one, it kind of all goes back, and I've kind of realized a lot of things through journaling. I grew up in a home with a sister that had mental illness. She had bipolar disorder. She also had an eating disorder, and a drug problem, and all, you know, it was a lot of fun growing up with her. And I grew up, overweight. I was a chubby kid and I was very badly bullied for this. I never felt like I really had friends growing up. I mean, I had my friends, but I just, at school, I didn't fit in. And then, you know, at home, it was very chaotic with my sister, and I was very aware of her eating disorder. And I'm sure, you know, we're kids, we're a sponge. So a lot of that just kind of got soaked in. And as I got older, I became obsessed with being thin, and I gotta be the prettiest girl in the room, and I have to be, you know, the best. And in my 20s, I did pretty well with that. I really looked amazing and worked really hard at it. Never appreciated it. I was always too fat. No matter how thin I was too fat. And now joke's on me because my body decided, yeah, you're not going to be able to work out the way you used to anymore. So I got to kind of get
by design.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where all of that comes from.
So, okay. When we are in danger, so let's just like take this so basic, like in terms of brain science, because your back pain is somebody else's headaches, is somebody else's fibro, is somebody else's pelvic pain, is somebody else's IBS. Okay. All of right. these are just different manifestations of the way they show up in our bodies. So the real important thing to look at in our lives when we're really trying to get to the heart of it is, where am I feeling unsafe? So we go back to your sister. Your sister is like my dad, okay? Okay. It was a reason to feel unsafe in your own home, unpredictable. Yes. You didn't know when you were going to get blindsided, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Because of that, you as your little child self being guided by your nervous system that is full of deep love and affection and protection for you had to find something that could keep you safe that you could control, because you can't control your sister no matter how much you try.
Right.
So eating disorder was great because, first of all, you could look in the mirror and say, I'm a chubby kid. It makes sense that I have an eating disorder. The second is you could look at your sister and say, well, she has an eating disorder and that's my older sister. And so it was older, right?
Right. She's 6 years older than me.
Perfect. 6 years. Huge difference in terms of maturity right. and development. So you look there and you said, okay, I look at myself. I think I'm chubby. I look at her. I kind of hate her, but I also love her, because that's how we feel about our abusive and disordered family members. Right. And so I'm going to do this thing. And then look, lo and behold, it totally fucking worked for you. You become gorgeous and thin and fit. And even though you never can really appreciate it, because it was never about being gorgeous, fit, and thin, it was about being safe. But because you could, even though you could never appreciate it, you were safe because you decided that if I can control this and I can manage this, I will be safe. And that is what we do in life until it doesn't work for us anymore.
And it's so funny you say that. Sorry to interrupt with the safety thing. I feel like looking my best and being the prettiest girl in the room or whatever, I need that in order to feel safe when I go to an event or anything. It's my armor. And if I'm seeing somebody that gives me anxiety and I don't feel like I look the best, I feel like I have no protection. It's very strange.
Well,
so it's funny that you said that.
It's not strange. It's so common and it's so true. And it is the heart of where you're going to need to do this work in order to make sure you don't have chronic pain, because your chronic pain has stepped in for your eating disorder and your exercise and your body dysmorphic disorder. It stepped in. It's exactly the same thing. See, because you have a brain that is so much smarter than your consciousness. Our consciousness is what we think we know and what we practice every day. Our brains are so much deeper. They can see into the future. They can see into the past, because we are animals that are looking to save our own lives. And what your brain sees in a million different varied ways is that beauty does not last forever, and that there's no way as we age to continue to be the prettiest girl in the room, because there's always going to be someone younger and fitter and prettier. And because of your nervous system's deep love and protection for you and your brain's deep understanding of that truth that I just said, your chronic pain will become your beauty, honey. And it is, but don't worry, because that's not going to happen for you, because you are awake and alive and you are able to turn this around. And that's an amazing thing. And you should feel 100% confident and safe in that. So I don't want you to feel worried. I just want to tell you that my job is to tell you what's up.
Okay.
And what's up is that you are using your chronic pain right now as your beauty, and it's taking the role.
That is so, like, yeah, you're right. Wow.
Yeah. And listen, this is amazing news.
Okay.
Because we all know beauty fades. How old are you?
I'm 33, and that's the other thing. I really am having a hard time with getting older. Like, I have become obsessed with asking everybody, how old are you? And then bumming out when they're younger than me.
Okay, so here we are. Do you understand where we are, Marielle?
Yes.
This is your – okay, it's like sort of beautiful for me actually because I'm a very spiritual person and I see things in like a really big wide lens. And I see how gorgeous this is that your brain and your nervous system have predicted this end of usefulness of your perfection. And the way they're protecting you now is by giving you something that will work forever. Chronic pain works till the day you're 95, right?
Yeah, I hope not.
But can you see the beauty?
Yes, yes.
Can you see the perfection?
Yes.
Even though you don't want it, it's still like what we have to look at sometimes is that our bodies and our systems, they're like operating in a certain way that is perfection. Just because we don't like it doesn't mean that it's not perfect. So what you need to understand is you should feel so confident in your recovery because right now, your system is in perfect working order, gleaming, shimmering, like as if it just was like new and perfect. Like what you value is what you already have. You just don't like the way it's manifesting. Okay. If your system wasn't perfect, it wouldn't be giving you this pain because it would be saying, oh, Marielle's fine. She'll be young and beautiful forever. We have our protection. We have our shield. But it knows that that ends. And it degenerates. That's what really degenerates is our physical bodies. They have to decompose. This is called human life. And I know that's probably scary to you, but it won't forever be because you are going to understand that your real safety is in knowing exactly how you feel about things, what happened to you, how it's affecting you. And oh my God, your future is so bright because you're not going to need to hold with fingernails against the, you know, the door to something that will obviously fade. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So having said that, the bulk of your work is going to be going back to little Mariel, who is chubby and scared of her sister and probably, I would assume, a little neglected by her parents because her sister takes up so much time.
And listen, my parents are amazing. My dad has passed away, but my parents are so wonderful and loving and they're old hippies, but when you have a daughter like that, you need to give it all of your attention. And I felt like whenever I had something going on wrong, no, you're fine. I remember telling my mom in high school, hey mom, I've been making myself throw up. No, I can't have two daughters with a problem like this. And I love my mom. I don't want her to feel bad about that, but I'm sure she was at the end of her rope too. And, you know, we're all just human and it was probably really difficult for her, but you know, I was just screaming out, hey, look at me. And I wound up getting into a lot of trouble and getting into a really abusive relationship and, you know, being on drugs. And I was just screaming out, hey, punish me, look at me, yell at me, do something. Like I'm messed up too. But I always had to be the one that was okay.
Okay, exactly. Exactly, honey. And that's why your story is just so perfect because your story is exactly what happens. Your pain is exactly what happens to someone where everything that happened to you has happened because the pain swoops in as a save-all, fix-all. And think about the attention. And this is certainly not – I know you're not asking for it, but this is once again, you have to look in the mind of the brain and the nervous system. Think about the attention you could rightfully ask for when you can't even fucking walk.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's become my identity. You had a man on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember his name. I want to say maybe it was Jim.
Joe.
His episode was really huge for me because I felt like our stories aligned a lot, but then he said, stop talking about it. Stop making it your identity. You have to. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like he's right. I tell everybody that'll listen like, oh, this happened to me. Oh, you know, it's become my personality basically.
So let's come to the present right now. Cause I want you to tell me more wholesomely. What's your life like now? What's your pain levels? Like how successful has this been for you? Because I think you're going to be great because I think you've already had a lot of success.
So my pain is still with me. And I just don't allow it to get me into a place of panic where it gets becomes much worse. So I just kind of say, like, I'll talk to it in the morning because, you know, every weekend I'm going out and driving an hour or however long away to go work a wedding. And I tell my pain, like, okay, you're coming along. Let's go. I bring like a little ice pack, which I have to stop. I have to stop with the treatments, like the icing, and I have a TENS unit, and I, you know, I have to stop with that. But so I have my pain. It tends to flare up more when I'm anxious about something.
Of course. So
another thing I wanted to bring up, which is a recent thing that I feel like maybe could be connected with the TMS, is last week I had to have an endoscopy because I started having GI issues out of nowhere. Turns out I have gastritis from taking the NSAID pain medication for my back. And part of me is like, is this my back trying to be like, gotcha again? Like, it feels like a never ending thing.
Gastritis is TMS.
Okay. So that's what I was thinking it could be. But so that was causing me a lot of anxiety. So last week I had a little bit of a flare up, but I just continued. I had four weddings this weekend. I just powered through and I did okay and came out the other side of it. So I'm still having the pain, but I'm not allowing it to put me in the place of like, get in bed, cry, you can't do anything.
Okay. So Marielle, the way I see you right now is that you're at the beginning of this journey.
Okay.
Which is great. You're only 33, which by the way is very young. And you are able to go and do this real work. Have you ever been in therapy about your sister and about your upbringing?
I have, yes.
And how long has it been since you've done that, or are you currently doing it?
I am not currently doing it. In fact, I reached out to multiple therapists during COVID for help because I really, really needed help. No one called me back. So no, I'm not in therapy currently. But when was I in therapy? I want to say maybe like 2014. It was that long ago. But okay. I had a really great therapist at the time.
I'm going to try to help you because you're in New York City, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to try to help you.
I'm in Jersey City, like right outside of.
Okay. But everybody does remote sessions now anyway.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to try to help you because what, if you're willing, are you willing to go to therapy?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love therapy. Like who doesn't want to talk about themselves?
I know. Therapy is amazing. Well, a lot of people don't, but I love it. And I think everybody should be in therapy because it's like getting a massage for your emotional health. But okay. So I would really, if you're willing, I would like to help you because I think not me personally, nobody freak out. I'm not taking more clients. I'm going to help her find someone. Because I think this is very deep for you, sweetheart. And I think that you need to really start at the beginning and go back and start to really talk about what's really here, which is the abuse and fear and terror of growing up with your sister, the overwhelm of your parents who had no other choice but to do what they did, but it's still, we're kids. It hurts us. Like our parents could mean well, but it doesn't matter. It's still our personal experience of how that feels. And then how you took that on yourself and tried to protect yourself in all sorts of different ways that were not healthy and were leading you up to this day. Your depression, your back pain, your sciatica, your irritable bowel, gastritis, acid reflux, whatever. It's all TMS. It's all the same. Please don't be scared. When a new symptom comes up, let's say you wake up tomorrow morning and you have like a crick in your shoulder or your neck, or, you know, you have urgency to urinate, or, I mean, please understand it's going to pop around your body. Right. You have to say, I see you. Wrap your hands around yourself. Hug yourself on your shoulders. Say, I see you, my love. We're going to do this. We got it. Yes. It's okay. Because you're just a sweet girl who didn't know what to do. You felt very alone and you took the ball into your court and you did the best you could and you really did a great job. No matter what you did to take care of yourself, you must forgive yourself for the things that you had to do to survive. Your eating disorder, your vomiting, your perfectionism, your desperation to be well, and all the things. It's perfect and beautiful, but now you're awake and now you're going to be able to handle it on the level that it needs to be handled, which is going back and doing this work. How often do you journal speak, Marielle?
So not as often as I should. It feels like a homework assignment to me, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. But I make myself do it. I do it more during the weekdays because on weekends I'm like out, you know, sometimes I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to a wedding. So I feel like it's a hectic day, which I still should be able to find the time to do it. I just need to force myself. So I would say I do it probably like 3 times a week.
Okay, so this is certainly not a threat, but you're in a pivotal time right now because your body is, your brain and your nervous system are like, okay, so I want you to picture that they're in a boardroom. Okay, we're gonna make this into a cartoon. So they're in a boardroom, just like in that movie. Is it Inside Out with the feelings? I think it's Inside Out.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So they're in a boardroom and they're like, okay, she's got a lot of trauma and she's like just a little bit aware of the fact that this is a mind-body situation, but I don't feel safe that she's really got it. We're only hearing her from her 3 days a week and she's not in therapy yet. And she's got a lot of pressures coming in for like regular daily life stuff, which has nothing to do with trauma, which has to do with just being a human being, right? And like relationships and money and self-worth and blah, blah, blah. She just might need a real wallop. We just might need to give her X, like let her knee go out because she's not had a knee thing yet. Like,
which has happened during this. I've had a knee problem.
Oh boy.
My jaw, I woke up during like the COVID experience. I woke up, this was like when COVID first started. I was so stressed. I woke up and my jaw was completely dislocated. I went to the dentist. He's like, "You stressed so much that you pulled the muscle of your jaw up." And like
It's
dislocated my jaw.
okay. So
It's
you're
very
already
physical.
experiencing, you're already
Yeah,
experiencing that
yeah.
they're up in the boardroom and they're deciding where they're going to send the problem because they need you to not feel your feelings because your feelings are deemed as dangerous to the point of death. Do you understand
Yeah.
that? Your brain and your nervous, this is a general statement, your brain and your nervous system, everyone's, perceive your repressed emotional world and your unfelt trauma as more dangerous than your physical pain. Your physical pain, syndrome, symptoms, diagnoses are considered the safer spot, and they will keep you there until it is unmasked that you can feel your feelings, that you can experience your trauma with help and support if need be. And that once that happens and the brain and the nervous system see that the predator is no longer present, the pain signals stop firing. You literally just become well, which has already started to happen to you, Marielle. So you understand what
Right.
that feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, this is just awesome. You are exactly on your way, but honey, I want you to keep awake and alert to the fact that you really should be journal speaking, even if, so you say you have to get up in the morning and drive, right?
Yeah.
Do it in the car.
Like just
Slow.
out loud?
Yep. So
Oh, okay.
I would love for you to do it written as often as possible because when we write things down, we slow down our process enough for epiphany that can happen much more readily when we're
Right.
writing. But it's absolutely fine if it's the only thing you can do that day. I do it all the time. The car and the shower, as long as you're certain that no one's in the bedroom that is going to listen to you, are two really good places to just pick a topic and say slowly and mindfully how you're feeling. And it's just, it works the same in a similar sense. And sometimes you can start yelling at somebody and you could talk directly to them or you could cry. It doesn't matter, but be in the space of your journal speak as often as humanly possible.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about the therapist offline. And
Okay.
I just want you to know that there are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. The believe part, yeah, you got to stop with the ice pack and whatever you're bringing. Nothing is wrong with your back because the same thing that's being expressed through your back is being expressed through your gastritis. Is the ice pack going to help your gastritis?
No.
No, so you don't need it.
Oh, okay. And I need help with like let's say there's a long car ride coming up. We're driving up, like the summer we drove up to Saratoga, New York. So on long car rides, my husband drives and I lay down in the back because I'm not ready to tackle that. And I know I have to stop. But I can't stop thinking in terms of, okay, I have this amount of sitting. I can't, like, I think the trauma is so severe from the injury and the surgery that I just can't get out of that mindset.
Okay, so that's a great question. I think that you need to take care of your nervous system instead of your back. So here's the way it looks. It looks exactly the same. So when you're laying in the back of the car, instead of saying, I'm laying back here because if I sit too much, I'm going to injure myself, which is the highest form of bullshit I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
Okay.
I can't believe a doctor told you that you can't fucking sit. Sitting is what we do. All we do is sit. We go to dinner. We go to movies. We go to shows. We have children and we sit at their fucking performances. Like, I'm so angry that somebody said that to you, and it's such crap, and it's such a doctor protecting their ass, in my opinion. Sorry, I usually don't get them this emotional about medical model stuff, but it's just crap. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It was told to you. It created trauma. Trauma is real. And so when you lay in the back of that car, I want you to picture like cradling in your arms, whereas you used to cradle in your arms your back because you're laying there to protect your back. I want you to cradle in your arms your nervous system, your sweet baby, your sweet, you know, chubby little six-year-old girl who's looking in the mirror and saying, I'm not okay the way I am. Even though, of course, she was. She didn't know that. And that's who you're cradling. And just ride however you want, but you cannot ride with fear. You have to ride with love. So you don't – and you can bring the ice pack. Just everything must happen with awareness and being awake and with the energy of love. I'm bringing this ice pack because I know my nervous system feels better when it's here. And she's just very tender right now. And so I don't want to make her spooked. So I'm going to bring the ice pack and I'm going to lay in the back of the car and I'm going to count the minutes that I sit, but with love for her, because she's not ready to step out of her cave. She's in her cave where she's protected my nervous system because she's protecting me. And so I'm not going to do anything to spook her. I'm just going to continue to be a consistent, loving presence that says, baby, I love you. I'm here. I know what we've been through. I was here for every second of it with you. And I'm going to do whatever we need to stay present and to stay calm, knowing that there is absolutely no physical necessity to it. I'm just going to do it because that's what we need to feel safe. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marielle, know that what's great about this is it doesn't have to change any of your actions. So you can still feel okay that you can do whatever it is you need to do, but it must be with a different energy.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That makes sense.
And do you feel comfortable with that?
I do. I do. I'm ready to just – I just want to be done with this. I don't want to talk about my back anymore. I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want it to be like something from the past.
I get it. And also understand that your back is not even a thing, because your back is also your depression and your knee and your gastritis. Yeah. So like your back is, it's truly immaterial. It's just one of the ways this has shown up for you. And if you look at your history, you'll know that's true.
And oh my gosh, I have to tell you, when you mentioned the burning mouth, I screamed because I had burning mouth syndrome for my entire adult life. I never knew what it was. When I heard you mention it on the podcast, I had it in that moment. I couldn't believe it. I've never had it again since.
That's amazing. See? Do you see?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you see your whole life? Can you just with me right now pan out and see your whole life and how you've had a million different forms of TMS that have just been trying to protect you? You never needed a surgery. You don't need anything, babe. You're probably the most perfect, healthy specimen of a human being. And so just know that, and know that I know that, and know that it's out there for you. It's just going to be about patiently sitting with the scared part of yourself, because if we're not patient, then we just spook them.
Yeah. Yeah. it's just, yeah, I feel very hopeful right now.
You should, because this is the beginning of everything for you. And I know you already began it. And what's interesting about the beginning of this interview is when I read your letter and I had you on as a success story, I wasn't aware that there was so much underneath. And this is so much more valuable for everyone and for you, because you're really just at the beginning of a huge understanding of your history and yourself and your motivations and your safety and the beauty of the dance between your brain and your nervous system. It's so great.
Thank you.
So any closing questions or words?
So I just have to say, I remember when I first started listening, one of your earlier guests, who I don't remember specifically, but I heard her say, "I am sitting here today giving this interview, and I never thought I would be sitting in a chair doing this." And I thought, "That's going to be me. I'm going to do that." And here I am. I'm sitting in a chair talking to you, which it sounds like something so small, but it's something really big for me.
That's amazing. That's
Thank you.
amazing. That's what this is all about. This is all about knowing that if we can just slow down and be with this process, that all the things that we dream of are going to happen for us. And that is 100% what's going to happen for you, Marielle. I'm not worried about you at all because I know I can hear in your energy and in your voice that you can do this, but it's work and you got to do it. And when you say it feels like a homework assignment and I don't want to do it, hello, yes. Welcome to every single one of us. And that's called resistance because resistance is another voice. It sits at the table of this little conference room in our inside out little guys that says, you shouldn't do this work because you're too tired or you're too busy. Because what it's really saying is, if you do this work, you're walking right into the lion's den. What are you crazy? This is why we did the back pain for you. You're not going to go over and look at this now.
Totally.
So just take your resistance in your arms, like the sweet baby that it is, and say, "I hear you, honey. I know that you feel like feeling our feelings or going back to that time with this and that and the other thing with my sister or with school or with my body or with my parents. I know that it feels like going back there is the most dangerous place in the world. It's the most beautiful place. It's where we find ourselves. It's where we come back to our authentic nature. It's where we protect ourselves from a lifetime of chronic pain. I see you, and I get that you don't agree with me right now, but honey, we're going to go do this now." And then you do it, and then you practice patience and kindness for yourself. Do you do the 10-minute meditation?
I just started meditating last week. And I have to say, when I was having a flare up last week, I was like, you know what? I downloaded the Insight Timer app and I'm like, I'm gonna try this. And I just laid on my bed and I did the meditation and my pain like went down by like 50%.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. So the point is that all three facets are equally important. Believe, which is the mindset, do the work, which is the journal speak, and then the meditation and is the patience and kindness for yourself. And also, like, when you notice yourself doing your old behaviors of like, oh God, you know, you gained a pound or like you don't, that doesn't fit you or whatever. You just say, "Ah, I see you, love. It's okay. We're going to get through this." You can be however worried or anxious or angry you want to be today, just like you would a small child, just like you would an animal, just like you would anything you feel tenderly toward. Just that's the way we need to talk to ourselves, not in that hateful, shaming, angry way.
Which is how I've talked to myself my whole life. I'm so hard on myself and mean to myself, and I have been my whole life.
And once again, you felt that that would protect you, and it's okay. It worked until it didn't. And that's what all of this, every conversation I have with people, all week after week after week on this podcast, it's about we do what we need to do until it doesn't work for us anymore. But the day we figure out it doesn't work for us anymore, then it's our responsibility to be curious about what else we can do. And that's what you're doing. Okay,
Definitely.
Marielle, it is so lovely to meet you. Thank you for
Thank
coming.
you. This was amazing, and I still can't even believe I'm talking to you. It's so crazy.
Well, I love to see people grow and change, and I'm so hopeful for you. So
Thank you.
we will talk separately about the therapist thing. I'll do my best to
Okay.
help you.
Thank you
And
so much.
in the meantime, everybody out there, I hope you got so much out of Marielle's story and her real-time heal. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps people find the podcast. And I send you big love. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I will see you then. Bye-bye.